Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
They are both planted in the field. And when the servants recognize that there's wheat and tares, they say, "Do you want us to go pluck up the tares?" And as we know the story, the owner of the field said, "No, because you also will root up the wheat. Let it stay until harvest time. And then when harvest time comes, then we'll be able to gather in. And through the sifting process, we'll be able to pull the wheat into my barns. And then we'll have the tares, which we'll cast into the fire." And as the disciples listen to Jesus tell this parable, along with the multitudes, as he sends them away, something prods them to question the master and say, "What is the meaning of this parable?" And aren't you glad tonight the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible? Amen. And so Jesus clearly deciphers each of these for us tonight. Can you imagine? I do like reading after other men and other commentaries, but here we have the commentary of Jesus himself on this text. And he says, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." We know who that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. "The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels." What's interesting is this. The enemy of the field, the enemy that sowed tares in the field, had an attack against the owner of the field. The owner of the field recognizes what the enemy has done, doesn't seem alarmed by it, doesn't seem nervous about it, but says there'll be a waiting period, and in the end, there'll be a harvest, and we'll sort it out. What's amazing here is this. Here are seeds of wheat planted in this field. The enemy comes not to attack the good seed. The enemy comes not to disrupt the good seed. The enemy comes to attack the owner of the field. And so what we begin to see is this clash between two kingdoms as the seeds are somewhere caught in the middle. I want you to just hang with me tonight and allow God to speak to our hearts. For we're in this world. The field is the world and the world is the field. And we're in this world. If you've been saved by the grace of God, born of the Spirit of God, then you are counted as a wheat planted in the field. Those that are of the wicked one, those that are false prophets and wolves and all sorts of others are classified as tares. What is interesting now then is that the wicked one had assaulted and come against the owner of the field. And so now then we understand that where we are in life is we're somewhere in the middle of this.
Amen.
The enemy is the devil, and the owner of the field is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now I understand tonight that it's not a quote unquote battle between God and the devil. It's not that the devil wins one day and God wins the next day. It's not that 1 week Satan is getting the victory and the Lord is losing, but the next week that the Lord's winning and Satan's losing. It's not that way. That is heretical. That is just not true. That's false tonight. God is in control.
Amen.
The devil is God's devil. He does exactly what God permits him to do. And the devil doesn't know the future. He knows scripturally what will happen, but his attacks and his things, his what he's allowed and what he's permitted to do, he doesn't know oftentimes the outcome. But our God that is all-knowing, he's omniscient tonight. He knows everything. And so he knows. And so when he permits the devil to attack, to do things to the field, he knows that it has a bettering effect. He knows it has a conforming effect to better and to produce a better outcome. So now then, we look over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, and we come to this understanding. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. God has a plan and a purpose in this world. He has not deviated from that plan. He is an eternal being from eternity past to eternity present and on into eternity future. He is staying with the plan he's always had. God has never called the angels around and had counsel and said, I wonder what I'm going to do. God has never been stumped. I mean, God has never had to think about anything. He's never had to ponder about what to do next. It's just going along exactly the way he wants it to go.
Amen.
We have received a kingdom that cannot be moved.
Amen.
It will go the way that God wants it to go. We just our nation just put a new president in the office. Irregardless of who it is or who it could have been, God raises up the man he wants. God raised Daniel 4. God raises up the kingdoms he wants to raise up. He abases those who he wants to abase. God is in control, and it's all about according to his plan. Just moving right along. So now somehow we are caught in the middle of that. We're in the middle of this. As God is doing his plan, as God is moving along in his plan, his pre-authored plan, he allows us to be partakers in that plan, to move along with him. When we pray to God, it's not that we're bending God, forcing God to do what we want him to do. That's not the case at all. It's that we are allowed and privileged to pray, communicate with God, that in the mind of prayer, we in essence agree with what God is already going to do. It is a wonderful exercise to participate in, to agree with God, to say yes to God, to walk with God according to his plan. And so now then, what we often find is in that plan, there is the grand plan of thing. There's the personal plan that God has purpose for your personal life in and through his body, the local church, the universal church. And so now then, in this plan, oftentimes we'll face something in that and we'll not understand what is going on. We'll misunderstand what God is doing. We'll not comprehend all that God is doing. And so that affects us directly. But now then, we see here in the book of Hebrews, we see that the apostle writing to the believers in Jerusalem, the Hebrews, as he's writing to them, they are under a severe attack of persecution. They are under such a heavy load of being persecuted without by the Romans, within by their own fellow Jews that they've come out of, and oftentimes by their own family. I remember reading some time ago about an evangelist, Hyman Appleman was a Jewish preacher that was saved. He was a Messianic Jew that God saved him into out of Judaism and birthed him into his family and called him to preach the gospel. And he was a preacher, and I remember reading things how that his family had gone against him. And even today, when Jews come out and leave that religion and embrace a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, which is the only way, by the way. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." Amen. And so now then, well, when they were to walk away from that, their families oftentimes would hold funerals and say that if you don't refute Christ, if you don't come back this way, then we'll have your funeral and you'll have no more part in our family. You'll have no part in the inheritance. We'll have no part with you. We're going to write you off. And oftentimes it is like this today, and no question it was like that back in the day when the apostle writes this epistle to these believers. Now can you imagine you being a fresh born again believer in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden you jump from the frying pan to the fire. Your family has turned on you. Folks don't come by your store and buy your stuff anymore because you have refuted a religion and you have embraced Jesus Christ. A relationship with God, a realness by the Holy Spirit of God, walking with God. And yet there's all these things coming against you, all these attacks, all these cruel words, all this persecution. And even in this hour, as Nero takes office in Rome, how that there was such a shrill and such a dark cloud of persecution that went out all over the land, that they was being hunted down like dogs. They literally would run and hide and have secret meetings, much like it is in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq and Iran, as those believers come out to worship God. In North Korea and China, Mongolia, Tibet, some of these places where they are persecuted for the name of Jesus. It's amazing when you read about that Christianity on the Eastern Hemisphere versus the Christianity we have in the Western Hemisphere. It's amazing to see how that they have such a grasp on the concepts of God. I was reading a book here in recent months where there was an American traveler, and this author was a preacher and missionary, and he was going to these countries, but prior to arrival, he made several visits to different lands, different Middle Eastern countries, to specifically ask them, "What can we do to help you?" And the answer was redounding over and over again: "Don't take us out of prison. Leave us there. It's what God has chosen to affect our people. It's what God has chosen to touch our family members. Don't mess up what he's doing." And so what I'm saying tonight is this: that we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Now then, we're somewhere in the middle in this thing. And understanding that truth is a valuable weapon against the enemy.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all
as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know will.
His words have